Welcome to the Ortho Joe Show, a joint production of the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery and Ortho Evidence. In our world, orthopedic research is king, and current topics from our respective publications are analyzed weekly. Here is Mohit Bhandari from Ortho Evidence and Mark Swinkowski from the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery.
Well, good morning, Mo. I know you're traveling, and I know you're in some other province besides Ontario today. I'm traveling. I'm at the journal office, thus my fancy Ortho Joe background. But here in the office, I do have the mug, which you may not have because you're traveling, unless you packed it.
Yes, I have a tried and true brand, but I'm not going to mention it online because I get no royalties from this company, Mark. That's why. So I'm just going to say, but it is some sort of caffeinated beverage in my head for sure.
Yeah, that's good. Lord knows we need it. There was a little bit of snow here in Boston. It's kind of, I find it entertaining to hear the Massachusetts people whining about 3 inches of snow when in the state of Minnesota, we've surpassed our annual total in the first week in January. So I'm doing core body strengthening regularly in the form of shoveling. So it's all good.
Well, we have a storm front. I guess it's a polar vortex we're hearing coming through Canada with 20 centimeters of snow expected in the next couple of days. So my hope right now is not to get stranded in an airport. That's my only focus, is not to get stranded in an airport. So we're looking at the weather and looking at flights.
Well, let me tell you, you have no control. In case you haven't figured that out.
No, I don't. Yeah, I think the idea that there's flights that I can do something makes me feel I have control, but you're right. I'm pretty well going to succumb to whatever nature decides to do.
Right. And whatever Air Canada does, precisely.
That's right.
So this is one of our what's on your mind kind of episodes of Ortho Joe. And speaking of being mellow in an airport, I'm gonna let you go first since You have the awesome. 12 attributes, and you've got one that I know nothing about what you're going to say. Let's just be clear to the audience that this will be a complete surprise to me. So go
ahead. Okay, so every year, kind of at the beginning of the year, Ortho Evidence, we put out an insight, which is really last year was the 12 habits towards excellence. And we, you know, covered a whole bunch of habits and, you know, things that you would, I'm sure, endorse, like schedule time. And primarily for yourself, get to places early. In fact, I had an experience last night where, you know, I got to one of the talks early. Another surgeon came in, and we actually had a really great discussion. And I would never have the opportunity to have that one-on-one had we just all joined and congregated as a group. So it made a lot of sense. Be present, another big one. Quality relationships over quantity, probably more relevant now than ever. Focus and, you know, a host of things. But this year we thought we would survey the orthopedic community, the OE community, and we asked them, and I'm going to get your take on for you. I'm going to get you to answer the survey right here, and then I'll tell you kind of how things panned out.
Okay.
But we asked in 2023, what's the most important habit and or attribute that you want to cultivate in 2023? We're asking, you know, we had about maybe 200 and some odd responses to that particular question. And we gave a couple of options because we wanted to add one that hadn't been added. One was, I want to be more humble. So, you know, exercise humility. I want to be more kind or exercise kindness. Or I want to be more focused in the context of setting a vision and having a vision in 2023. So how would you answer that one, Mark?
I'm not sure what the format of the survey is, whether you allow kind of modification, but it's not quite kindness. It's being more cognizant of everybody on the team, from the people that room the patient to the people that are taking the images, et cetera. And getting connected more with all the members on the team rather than just a few select. So I think that's kind of kindness, right?
Well, yeah, I will tell you that you and 55% of our orthopedic community felt exactly the same. It was the most, common hope or an attribute that I think in 2023 we're trying to develop, and actually gets to it's a bit of a statement, isn't it, about, you know, what's happening and how we're all feeling. And how I think the very fundamental point of, you know, be kind. And some of the comments we got back was, being kind to others is one thing, but we also have to be kind to ourselves in the context of making sure that you do all the other 12 habits. Make sure you take time for yourself, and make sure, in a world right now, especially in social media, for a generation of individuals growing up only in social media, the internet's a weird and wonderful place. You know, here we are chatting about it, and you know, you and I, when we first met, you know, I wouldn't have believed that we'd be, you know, spending a lot of our time, you know, communicating through, you know, a podcast format.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is, I think we're seeing tons of issues around perceptions that everyone's life is better than mine, and just because of the way algorithms seem to work on social media. And I think it's a pervasive, you know, it was a dominant win. Interesting, you know, being having humility, smaller number of folks, even setting a vision, smaller number of folks. But yeah, so we added kindness this year, and so to our community, we are urging that we take time and exactly the kind of things that you talk about, Mark, which is, you know, taking those moments, being present. I think it means something unique to each and every one of us. But we're not alone. So yeah, absolutely. Kindness was the word.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't have an indefinite time here on this earth, or an indefinite time in the positions we enjoy either. So it's kind of make the most of it. I've been editing a lot of obituaries these days for the journal, and it's just a reminder that, you know, even people as influential as Mo Bhandari someday may not be as influential. So, as the great philosopher Campbell from Wayne's World stated, or it might have been Garth Algar, I can't remember which character, but live in the now was the advice from the great philosopher.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. For me, I mean, there's so many lines from Wayne's World, but I won't digress and waste everyone's time hearing about Wayne's World stuff. But anyways, no, I think it's a fundamental thing. I mean, I think most of us at some point get to a point, right, where you stop planning for the future and you start planning for the day. And I think a lot of folks now are saying, if you take care of your day, future will take care of itself. But I think sometimes, you know, I'm in that exact mindset where I've seen so many of some of my mentors, some of the individuals who are, you know, the more senior surgeons when I was training, they would always talk about, well, when I retire, you know, the R word, I'm going to go on and, you know, and live the life that I was thinking, why not just try to live it now? You know, I always have that thing, but, you know, it was never, well, it's about then. And then you can't predict what's going to happen in the future, as you know. Okay. So really, it's about trying to develop these habits and maybe add kindness to it, right? So, and it's a good reminder every year to start thinking about. And hopefully, we can, you know, stay grounded in that.
Wonderful message, and I think your issue of prioritization speaks to how you're putting all this effort in becoming a single digit handicapper in golf, which I commend your efforts in that regard.
Well, I will tell you right now that the more I try to get better, the worse my score gets. And so it's almost like it's all up here in the noggin. I've got to figure out a way to just relax. Right.
It's like Yogi Berra said, half of this game is three-fourths mental. So just don't ever forget that. All right. So that's the news from OE and the news from JBJS. And I've selected a manuscript from the January 18th issue, which I think is a real important step forward. It's on the treatment of metacarpal shaft fractures. And my reason for bringing this up to the audience is I think this is a wonderful start in what I hope would be a series of investigations on common hand injuries. I think this is an area where we could use better evidence. And there's lots of personal opinions, some implants, surgical approaches, post-operative care, et cetera, for hand injuries, which are very, very common. And this is an example. So the metacarpal fractures are relatively common. In the background section of this abstract, 31% of all hand fractures, metacarpal fractures, of course, most would be metacarpal neck, mostly the small finger metacarpal, but so they randomized a small cohort of patients of 42 to non-surgical and surgical care, followed them for 1 year. They used grip strength as a outcome, and then also measured radiographically shortening and measured complications. And they conclude in this single center trial that when treated with unrestricted mobilization, patients with a single display spiral and or oblique finger metacarpal shaft fracture have outcomes comparable to those treated surgically despite shortening. And they also did some costs, and costs are substantially higher for surgical treatment, and sick leave is significantly higher in the operative group. So small trial, and I know I had you look at this, and maybe I could get you to comment on the issue of small trials and how this could be done perhaps in a multi-center format.
Yeah, I think the first thing I would say is that I did do a quick search as well on ortho evidence to see, you know, just what is our body of hand literature, and it is really small.
Yeah.
In terms of the high quality work, which would be the randomized trial clinical data, we see lots of stuff on the rehab side, but in the surgical domain, we're not seeing a lot of trials, and the trials are often operative A versus operative B, for example.
Yeah. But most often distal radius or.
I think the first thing I'd always say is you always congratulate. Yeah. And I would say that we mostly, you know, like, first of all, I would congratulate, right? I would congratulate any author that undertakes a clinical trial. And then I'd also say, what can we learn from, this particular trial? Well, I think, you know, they used an interesting design, a non-inferiority design. And so the question is, you know, how close do two treatments have to be? Mm-hmm. They suggested that if you're, you know, within 85% of the grip strength, we're pretty good. Now, some might argue, you know, you want to be closer, you know, if you're looking at, depending on the individual and how important that is, but from the reality, what variation is, they made a pretty good argument there. But I think the biggest challenge, and the challenge we faced every time we do a trial, and before we came live, Mark, we were literally somewhat joking about how, you know, no matter what sample size calculation we put forth on our own work, I just say, what's the maximum number of patients we can actually recruit? Because more than likely, our estimates of sample size are, you know, however we've engineered them, are likely going to be off, right? Because it's the best guess.
Yeah.
So one might argue in this particular case that 40 patients is good, that you know you're able to show that you can recruit. And wouldn't it be really great if you know, larger groups, networks come together to try to confirm, you know, or refute, I guess, you know, the work that's being done in some of these other trials. I do think it's going to start with networks, and so there has to be a group or association deciding that we're going to lead this way and start that. And it starts just like that, right? You just need one pragmatic trial to get, you know, to get enough people behind it to move forward. And we've seen that happen, you know, as you know, in trauma, we've certainly seen that happen in oncology. We've seen that happening, you know, in total joint replacement and sports. We're starting to see it in a whole bunch of areas. And I mean, I would hope, and I'm sure there are groups, successful groups in hand surgery also doing this work, but hand surgeons per se uniting to do, you know, important studies, I think will be really important for the future.
Couldn't agree more. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this, to encourage that community to do more multi-center trials and form these groups and really get us some higher level of evidence we can use to make treatment decisions for these very common injuries. So Mo, I want to thank you for reviewing that manuscript and for going back to the 13th element of importance from OE and for mindfulness in your planning. But, you know, I've seen your postings on hacking through the ice and getting into ice water for 5 minutes. And that one, I just have to be really honest with you and our audience that I'm hesitant. I'm really hesitant to follow your lead.
But you know what? You know what you got to do is you have to go down the wormhole that is Wim Hof on YouTube. And then you will see just how it goes from that sounds crazy to within 5 minutes, I've got a pickaxe and thinking, I'm doing this, right? And then you're in the water thinking, Okay, has it been like a minute? And it's been literally 10 seconds. It's been literally 10 seconds. But anyways.
Well, I'm going to have to work up the courage.
I'm sure there have to be. In fact, we should get, there's got to be folks who are listening who are using, you know, cold water, ice bath treatment.
Well, I'm sure of it. Yeah, I'm sure of it. But in your video, the ice you're hacking through was like inches, you know, it's feet where I live.
Yeah, right. It's significant. I mean, part of that is just distracting me from being in the water. Like, because if you're sitting in the water, it's cold. It's really cold. And I don't have the mental fortitude to stay in too long. But anyways,
all right.
It's all good. It's all good.
Well, go have a dip when you get home and finish your cup of joe.
I will.
Great chatting as always.
Right.
Take care, Mo.
Nice talking.
Bye.
Bye-bye.